Hello, everyone. This is Jeffrey Kerr. I'm back with the July 2022 installment of the News of the Month series on the Kerr Reviews podcast. This is where I talk about a few different entertainment news stories that feel important and or interesting to me. Each of the stories you'll be hearing me talk about have been divided into four separate categories. The first set of them is about East of Eden. For those unfamiliar, John Steinbeck's classic 1952 novel follows two families, the Tresks and the Hamiltons, and their interwoven stories. The novel previously served as the basis for a 1955 feature film directed by Elia Kazan, starring James Dean in his first major screen role. It also featured Jo Van Fleet, who ended up winning a Best Supporting Actress Oscar for her performance. Although the movie only loosely adapted the fourth and final part of the original novel, which was kind of similar to how the 1960 film adaptation of Elmer Gantry only presented fewer than 100 pages of the original 432-page novel by Sinclair Lewis. Or, for a more recent example, Dave Malloy only adapted a 70-page segment of Leo Tolstoy's 1,225-page novel War and Peace into the stage musical Natasha, Pierre, and the Great Comet of 1812. There was also a miniseries adaptation of East of Eden that aired on ABC back in 1981 that featured Karen Allen, Ann Baxter, Lloyd Bridges, and Jane Seymour. In fact, Universal previously had a new film adaptation in the works that was set to be produced by Ron Howard. Tom Hooper was attached as director at one point before he went on to win an Oscar for helming 2010's The King's Speech, but then Gary Ross was set to write and direct with his star of 2012's The Hunger Games' Jennifer Lawrence cast. No updates have been made since then, so I guess it's safe to assume that project is dead. Now, East of Eden will be receiving a television miniseries adaptation at Netflix. It seems likely that it will be adapting the entire novel, and Zoe Kazan, who happens to be Elia Kazan's granddaughter, is set to write and executive produce with Florence Pugh attached to star. This sounds like quite a project to keep an eye out on. After all, East of Eden has not only been widely regarded by many to be John Steinbeck's most ambitious novel, but Steinbeck himself considers it to be his magnum opus. I've never read the original novel, but I have seen the movie, and thought it was pretty good. So I'll, of course, be keeping an eye out on this project. In other news, this past month, the Academy announced this year's recipients of their Governor's Awards. They are Uzan Palsy, Diane Warren, and Peter Weir. Not to mention that Michael J. Fox is set to be the next recipient of the Jean Hersholt Humanitarian Award. Uzan Palsy is a filmmaker from the West Indies. She has directed so many projects on the big and small screens over the years. One of them in particular was a 1989 feature film titled A Dry White Season. It starred Donald Sutherland, Marlon Brando, giving an Oscar nominee to the performance, and Susan Sarandon. In fact, Palsy became the very first black female director to have ever helmed a movie produced by a major Hollywood studio, MGM, with that. For Diane Warren, the 13-time Oscar-nominated songwriter who still has yet to win will finally be receiving an Academy Award this year, albeit it's not going to be a competitive one. Though maybe she will eventually win a competitive Oscar someday. After all, Paul Newman, Ennio Morricone, and Spike Lee all managed to do so sometime after receiving their honorary Oscars. And Peter Weir is a 6-time Oscar-nominated Australian filmmaker who has been previously recognized for directing 1985's Witness, 1989's Dead Poets Society, 1998's The Truman Show, and 2003's Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World, which also earned him a Best Picture bid as a producer on it. Not to mention that Weir was also recognized in the category of Best Original Screenplay for writing 1990's Green Card. For Michael J. Fox, he was someone who founded the Michael J. Fox Foundation for Parkinson's Research back in 2000 to find a cure for Parkinson's disease through funded research and ensuring the development of improved therapies for those living with Parkinson's today. After all, Fox was first diagnosed with Parkinson's way back in 1991, so it's great to see his countless efforts recognized in such a big way. Congratulations to all of this year's honorary Oscar recipients. The Governor's Awards will be taking place on November 19th. For our next news story, Congratulations are in order for Jennifer Hudson, as she just last month became the 17th person in history to have completed their EGOTs competitively. She did so as a producer of the new Broadway show, A Strange Loop, which ended up winning the Tony for Best Musical. Jennifer's journey to EGOTs began in 2006 when she won an Oscar for her performance as Effie White in Bill Condon's film adaptation of Dreamgirls. In 2009, she won a Grammy in the category of Best R&B Album for her debut studio album, simply titled Jennifer Hudson. She later won a second Grammy in 2017 in the category of Best Musical Theater Album as a principal soloist on the cast recording for the most recent Broadway revival of The Color Purple. And last year, she won a Daytime Emmy Award in the category of Outstanding Interactive Media for a Daytime Program for Baba Yaga. In fact, at just 40 years old, Jennifer Hudson is now the youngest woman and second black woman, following Whoopi Goldberg, to have achieved EGOT status. For our final subject, I'd like to take this moment to remember four industry veterans we've lost within this past month. Donald Pippin died of chronic obstructive pulmonary disease on June 9th at the age of 95. He was the musical director behind several Broadway classics such as Mame, A Chorus Line, and La Cage aux Folles. Not to mention that he also happened to have been a Tony winner in the now-retired category of Best Conductor and Musical Director for his work on the original Broadway production of Oliver back in 1963. Thankfully, the In Memoriam segment at this year's Tony Awards managed to include him despite passing away only 3 days before. Veteran character actor Philip Baker Hall died of emphysema on June 12th at the age of 90. For those who probably aren't familiar with who he was by name, you've likely seen him around over the years. He appeared on countless TV shows such as Good Times, MASH, The Waltons, Cagney and Lacey, General Hospital, Benson, Miami Vice, Family Ties, Matlock, Murder, She Wrote, L.A. Law, Cheers, Chicago Hope, The John Larroquette Show, Third Rock from the Sun, The Practice, Seinfeld, Without a Trace, Everwood, Monk, Boston Legal, The West Wing, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Modern Family, The Newsroom, and Madam Secretary. Hall's film credits included 1997's Boogie Nights, 1998's The Truman Show, 2007's Zodiac, 2011's 50-50, 2012's Argo, and more. Actor Jean-Louis Tantion died of lung cancer on June 17th at the age of 91. A legend in his native country of France, among his many acting credits included appearances in Oscar-winning films such as 1966's A Man and a Woman, 1969's Z, and 2012's Amour. Actor, book writer, and songwriter James Rado died of cardiorespiratory arrest on June 21st at the age of 90. While he was best known for co-creating the groundbreaking rock musical Hair, which he also originally starred in on stage as Claude, he actually started out his Broadway career appearing in plays. First in June Havoc's Marathon 33 back in 1963, where he appeared alongside Julie Harrison's Doris Roberts, then in James Goldman's The Lion in Winter in 1966, where he appeared alongside Robert Preston, Rosemary Harris, and Christopher Walken. In fact, when that play was brought to the big screen in 1968, Rado's character, Richard the Lionheart, was played by Anthony Hopkins in his motion picture debut. My condolences go out to all of their families. So that's just about does it for the news of this month. I will be back on August 1st to discuss any bits of entertainment news stories that I found interesting and or important from July. If you love this show, please leave us a review. Go to ratethispodcast.com/carereviewspodcast and follow the simple instructions. Feel free to subscribe to wherever you get this podcast. If you'd like to find more content from me, please visit my website, which is www.carereviews.net. You can also find it on Twitter at @carereviews and me at @JeffreyCare. Thanks for listening, and I will see you all later.